This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
There we go. Hi there. Remember me? You can tell I haven't been in this studio for several months. Andy Paulson in for Igor today on The Gardening Show with Master Gardener Bob Harris. Good morning, Bob. Let's try to get you situated here. Can you hear me now, Bob?
Yeah. Okay. There we go.
So I wanted to start out by saying that we got an announcement yesterday in my email for the community calendar that I want to read. It's the Master Gardeners of McKean County Training Class Information Event that's going to be happening at the Penn State Extension on August 11th.
Yeah, yeah.
So for those of you who want to become a Master Gardener, you might want to check that out. It's August 11th from 7 until 8 p.m. at 17129 Route 6 in Smethport. If you have any questions, you can email gjw5260@psu.edu. What can they expect? Are you going to be at this event?
I probably am. Yeah, I go to a lot of them. They're going to have a lot of enjoyment. I should stress that first. You know, not only going to learn about gardening, but you're going to meet some new friends with like-minded friends. But you are going to learn a lot about gardening. It's not a strict school-like class. You're going to have time for questions, any type of question. But you are going to learn a lot about gardening, and believe me, it's very helpful. It's anybody that has a home, whether you buy or rent, you need to know a little bit about gardening. To take care of the outdoors, because there's a lot of enjoyment and pride that comes out of it. But also, like I say, it's a great social event. And then we get involved in a lot of other programs, like we are doing the vegetable garden at Crook Farm this year, and several others. We have a big vegetable garden out at the Combs Center, just outside of Smithport, and all that food is donated to different kitchens or food pantries needed. Boy, the it just goes on and on and on about what Master Gardeners do and why the class is so great. You know, it's not a strict formal class-like setting. It's, to me, more of a social event. And it's well run, and you'll get to see and hear from a lot of the most knowledgeable speakers, you know, in Pennsylvania, and learn a lot. So it's a good one to do.
I do have to explain that due to technical difficulties, we're not live streaming on Facebook Live today. Obviously, if you're hearing that announcement, you're already listening live. Yeah. On the radio, the show will be available on demand at WESB.com, as usual, once it's done. And Bob's going to have a demonstration in a little bit. I'm going to film it with my phone so you can see what he's talking about, and we will be posting that to our Facebook page later on. If you have a question, you can call us at 814-368-WESB, and it looks like someone already is.
All right.
Good morning. You're on The Gardening Show.
Morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Bob, I have a question. I bought a lace-top hydrangea this past May. Beautiful plant. What do I do now? It's only one more. Only one is in blossom. The rest is all turning kind of pink and probably dying off. What do I do with the plant?
Let's see. Now, it's a good-looking plant, right? There's no problem with the leaves.
No, $65 plant. No, it's real nice.
Yeah, good. First, I got to say, hydrangea is becoming one of the most popular plants out there for a good reason.
Is that right? Uh-huh.
Yeah. But what you should do now is just, you can let it go. The blossoms and a lot of the colorful ones, even the lace cap, can start out a little whitish and then they turn to their color. And then they finally fade to maybe a different color and then eventually to brown. Now, they can remain on the plant if you want.
Uh-huh.
But if that faded flower bothers you, you can clip it off just at the flower base.
Oh, just at the flower. Okay.
Yeah. Unless that's a long stem that's out of bounds, too long for the rest of the plant, then you can trim it back further. It will not bother it at all.
Okay. So I don't have to cut things down and all that then?
No, no, not really. Yeah, hydrangeas are a real easy care plant.
Okay.
Especially the lace cap. The lace cap's a bit different. You know, most of us have seen them big round snowballs or cone shape. The lace cap's a little different, and they can be very colorful.
Uh-huh. But you say if I want to, I just right at the underneath part of the blossom itself.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the stem.
Well, a little bit of the stem, yeah. So,
okay, but not clear down?
Yeah, go down to the first leaf that's sticking out of the stem even. Better yet.
Down to the one leaf.
Yeah, one leaf. And trim it there. Then it's not so unsightly, so you don't have this bare stem sticking out.
Oh, okay, then. I'll take care of it, then.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Oh, you're welcome.
Have a nice day, now.
You
bye.
Too.
368-WESB, 814-368-9372. If you have a question for Bob, you can also email us at garden@wesb.com. I actually have a question for you. I've got a little baby maple tree.
Yeah.
Well, not so much a baby. It's growing like a weed, pardon the expression. And I love maple trees, but I don't love them when they're next to my foundation and popping up in the middle of my rhododendron.
Oh.
I have tried everything. I have snipped it. I have broken it. I tried pulling it up, but it just keeps coming back. I don't want to use a powerful weed killer.
Yeah.
Because years ago, I lost a Queen Elizabeth rose when one drop of Roundup. A weed I was trying to kill got on a leaf.
Yep.
And so how do I get rid of this, or can I get rid of this?
Yeah, you can get rid of it, yes. And I'm going to recommend after a good rain, when the ground is good and wet, that loosens the soil and makes it easier to pull a plant. Now, when you pull out that maple, and you'll see the roots coming with it. Now, if at the very end of that root, you have a broken part, well, it's going to regrow right there. So you have to get as much of that root as you possibly can. Now, one other thing you can do is, is it mulched, that bed?
No, it's not.
Okay. That's all right. You don't have to mulch. You can put something cover under there temporarily to block out all the sunlight so that plant can't sense sunlight and get a chance to regrow. So you can put down a piece of cardboard, weight it down with some rocks, an old piece of carpet, a piece of plastic, whatever you want. Just put down a chunk in that area, not a big chunk. You know, if this is how tall was it when you pulled it?
When I last pulled it, it was about 3 feet.
Okay.
And right now, it's taller than you.
Oh, okay.
It, like I said, it's growing like a weed.
Yeah. So that's one way of doing it. The other way of doing it is every time you see it appear, cut it off right at the ground level. Eventually, you will starve it out because it has to produce leaves to produce the food and nutrients it needs to supply the roots. So if you keep cutting it off, you will starve it out, and then it won't come back.
It's just a question of living longer than the plants.
Oh no, I'm not talking about a long period of time. Yeah, in one season, you know, just every time you see it, get up there around 6 inches, go in there with your pruner and snip it off as low as you can, or give it a jerk. You know, try to pull up some of the underground part and clip it off at that point even, and you will eventually starve it out.
I'll have to take take that step.
Yeah.
If you've got a problem plant or a plant you want to avoid becoming a problem, give Bob a call, 814-368-WESB, 814-368-9372. And even though we're not live streaming the full show on Facebook Live, I am going to now record Bob's demonstration for this week. He's talking about pruning. And what do we have here?
Okay, we've got an arborvitae here, a real popular shrub. Just like I said, the hydrangeas are arborvitaes. People are using them all over. Now, this one has a golden tinge to it. It's not like the most popular types that we see as hedges and wind barriers, dark green. This one has a little more color to it. Like most plants, they can get a little unruly. Like you see, the top is growing way up above the rest of the plant, and we even have a branch kind of sticking out here that's not in with the major mass of the plant. So we can easily take care of that, and it's going to be very beneficial. So let me explain about the growth of a plant here a little bit. At the very top, there's going to be buds at the very end of the branches, even the side branches, and they're called apical buds, and they become the dominant bud of a plant where most of the hormones and the growth go. So this plant, left untrimmed, will continue to grow this branch much faster than the rest of the plant because of that apical dominance in that apical bud. Now, if I trim this off, anywhere really doesn't matter. I'm just going to pick this smaller branch that's kind of sticking out here and trim just above it. Now, I've taken away the apical dominance. So now that sends a signal to the plant. I've got to regrow, but it doesn't have this dominant bud at the very tip anymore. So it's going to start to send out growth spurts all over the plant, one of them trying to become the dominant bud again. So it helps fill out the plant. And in the meantime, I'm probably this one here that's kind of sticking out. I hope you can see that well. I'm going to trim that back a little bit too. And with this plant, really doesn't matter. Just pick a spot and trim that off. Again, one over here too that I'll just trim back a little bit. And that's all it's going to take to make this plant bushier or thicker and encourage some new growth because I removed those dominant buds at the very tip of the branch. The dominant bud is always at the very tip of the branch. You'll see with shrubs that a lot of people will shear with their rotary hedge trimmer. They always end up real thick because they're taking away all the apical buds all the time. And of course that forces or tells the plant, I've got to regrow to replace that. So they all fight to become dominant. So many buds will come out. Quite often with a shrub, when you remove one bud, 2 to 3 more will appear at a lower point. So it helps thicken up that shrub. Now, you don't have to shear all shrubs to get that. Sometimes all you got to do is take off the tallest or longest one. That's all it can take to get a bushier shrub. And that's going to go for just about any shrub at all. And even if this was a flowering shrub, I've only taken away one flower. So it doesn't matter what time of year even that you do it. So that's how you can thicken up a shrub and a little lesson on apical dominance. You don't have to remember that term, but...
it helps if you do.
Yeah, it helps if you do. You understand why you are pruning those. And as you can see, that doesn't take much time. Just a nice little hand pruner. And I can go around the yard within just a few minutes, take care of all those long branches that are out of bounds. And by doing that, I'm helping to encourage a bushier plant.
Well, with the visual portion of our program now finished for today, we will upload that to our Facebook page for those of you who want to watch Bob's demonstration. Of course, we are the first radio station in the market in living color.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a break right now. If you want to give us a call, this is the perfect time. 368-WESB, area 814-368-9372. We'll be right back after a word from our buddies at Worth W. Smith.
This is the Gardening Show
with Master Gardener.
Need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford, like railroad ties for your lawn and garden projects, lawnmower blades and repair kits, and gas-powered string trimmers. Worth Smith also carries a full line of durable Kevlar belts up to 120 inches in length. You'll find plenty of concrete mix in stock. And for your grilling or camper, don't forget to take your propane tanks to Worth Smith for a summertime fill-up. It's really true. If you need it, you'll always find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
You're listening to The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM, WESB, with Master Gardener Bob Harris. Give us a call, 814-368-WESB. That's 814-368-9372. And I have to remember to mention the area code because you have to dial it now.
Yeah.
We're waiting for 562 to come in here and get us all that much more confused. You wanted to talk more about your Arbor Vitae.
Yeah, yeah. It's always been an interesting shrub to me. And if you go to any cemetery, I'm going to mention Oak Hill because that's one of the more famous ones. You'll see a lot of that plant there. Of course, those are real old-fashioned. They grow quite large, but they have developed a lot of varieties that stay small. There are dwarfs and different colors. But It has a lot of meaning other than just a good-looking green shrub. It's planted extensively in cemeteries because it symbolizes sorrow. So you see a lot of arborvitaes planted in old cemeteries. Another interesting fact about it to me is the Native Americans in this area, they considered it a sacred plant, and that's kind of odd. You know, this goes back 1,000 years, you know, or more, that it's always been a sacred plant. They would, even if they were freezing cold, they would not chop down an arborvitae for firewood. They would only cut branches off to burn in the fire to release the smoke because they thought it would help contact the spirits. And let the spirits know that we're thinking about you and think about us. And so it's always been a sacred plant to them. So two good reasons to plant an arborvitae in your yard, not just for looks, but also a very, very symbolic plant. And there's very few pests that bother it, you know, so it's usually a carefree one, a little bit of pruning. Like I showed earlier, that's about all it takes to care for them. You'll have a fabulous shrub for a lifetime.
I was going to ask, for those of us who have fauna amongst our flora, how do animals react to it? Do they end up eating it and we have to keep an eye on it? Or
Yeah. Our deer seem to really like it a lot. Now there is a variety that is deer resistant, not deer proof. There's hardly any plant that's deer proof, but deer resistant, and that's called the American arborvitae. That one they just rather not eat unless they're really starving to death. But all the others, yeah, they can tend to be deer food. So we may have to protect them in a lot of different ways. You know, there's the fencing, there's deer netting. There's the a lot of scents we can put on it, you know, right on down to, you know, the Irish Spring soap, the deer. A deer work mostly with their scent. They smell first for food. And so that can can confuse them and they don't recognize it as food. A lot of different ways to keep the deer off. And none of them are real labor intensive, you know. So don't worry about that too much.
Pretty much the same techniques we would use to prove any plants.
Yeah,
against
any plants. If you have a deer problem and you see that they are attacking a certain plant, yeah, there's a lot of different ways to deter the deer. Of course, you know, there always is that one winner that nothing can stop them, you know, and so you have to share your plant with them. They're not going to kill the plant. That rarely do a deer eat a plant to the point to where it dies. It may take another year to grow back from the deer damage, depending on how much they do do to it. But it's well worth it. That's one of my least worries is a deer problem. And we get them. We get a herd of deer every evening in our backyard through the winter, not this time of year, but through the winter. And they feed a little bit on my shrubbery, but to most people, it's unnoticeable.
And of course, now you know how to make it grow thicker if that happens by trimming the apicals off.
Yep, that's right. Yep, indeed.
You're listening to The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM, WESB. Give us a call if you have a question, anything in the gardening world for Bob, 814-368-WESB. Well, we're entering the dog days of summer. We've got the hottest temperatures ahead. You've got to be careful out there when you're gardening.
How can it get hotter?
Just any tips on safe gardening?
Yes. Yes. Number one will be watering. If we do end up with a period where we don't get that inch of rain a week, if we get that inch of rain a week, don't water. We've gone through a long spurt of a lot of water and, you know, and our soil can be waterlogged and that can harm the plant because it takes a lot of the oxygen out of the soil. And you heard me mention before, plants need oxygen just as much as they need water. So keep that in mind. But if we don't get that rain for a couple weeks, then it's going to be important that you supply it. And there's many ways to do it. One of my favorite ways, if I got a tree that may be showing signs of wilting because it's dry, and you'll see those signs by the tips of the branches again, where the apical bud is. If it starts to droop down, that probably that plant is starting to wilt from dry soil. It can also show that sign if the soil is over wet. So you have to decide whether it's too wet or is it too dry. If it's too dry, and one of my favorite ways is if I say I got a tree that's showing a little bit of sign, I'll put the hose down there, not right by the trunk, but out towards the end of the branches, and just turn it on a trickle, just a trickle, and leave it there for an hour or two. A slow watering is much better than just going out there and dumping a 5-gallon bucket or turning the hose on full and giving it a quick watering and walk away. Now, some of us only have time for that, and that's the tree's still going to benefit from that. But one of the best ways to water is very, very slowly. If at all possible, you can do it.
Do you recommend sprinklers?
Yeah, sprinklers are good because that does give a large area a slow watering. Another way to do it, and they sell these what they call gator bags on the market, a bag that you wrap around the trunk, you fill it up with water, and it has very small holes that just drip out of there so it slowly waters the plant. But other ways of doing it is we have cats. So I use the cat litter container. They're a nice big, almost 2-gallon. They are a 2-gallon jug. So I can fill them up with water.
And make sure you get the litter out of it first.
Yeah, get the litter out. Yeah, yeah. And poke a small hole in the bottom and just set it there at the tree. That's just going to drip, drip, drip. And, of course, that's going to help supply a good amount of water to that tree. You know, if it's a bigger tree, you may have to use more containers. But a slow drip, again, I have to stress that, is going to be much more beneficial than a fast soaking. But either one is going to work. But the better is a slow as you can get it.
And of course, if you're out working in your garden in the heat, remember, you need water just as much as the plants do. So as one of my teachers used to say, wet yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
Keep yourself well hydrated, and then the plants, you hydrate them.
Boy, that is so important. I've learned that lesson too many times.
I've got time for one more call. If somebody has any questions, 814-368-WESB. Anything you wanted to add in before I run over to the newsroom at high speed? For ARG.
Going back to the pruning, thing. Usually what we do is anything that blooms in the spring, we prune them right after they're done blooming. You know, that's the lilacs and the rhododendrons and the forsythia. So they have time to build their buds for next year. Now, the opposite, anything that blooms in the summer, we want to wait till winter or early spring to prune them, because the summer blooming shrubs, like Spirea and Rose of Sharon, those types, they build their buds in the same year that they're going to flower. I hope that isn't confusing. So prune them late winter, late fall, or early spring. And I recommend usually early spring, because you can really spot where they need pruned a lot better when no foliage is there. But also, if you have, going back to that spring bloomer, like the lilac and the forsythia and the rhododendron, you know, I say don't prune them till after they're done blooming, but right after they're done, that's the timetable. But if you have a shrub that needs pruning and you didn't get to it in time, then prune it whenever you're ready. As long as you don't do a hard, heavy pruning, you're not going to damage it. But be aware that if you have that rhododendron that's got one branch sticking way up there, when you prune it off, you have lost one blossom or two or three blossoms for next year, but no big deal. It needed pruned. You didn't have time at the correct time, so go ahead and do that anyhow.
And, of course, by now you can go watch Bob's pruning demonstration from this week at our Facebook page, facebook.com/WESB1075. If you have any other questions, you can email them, and we will take them up next week on The Gardening Show. The email address is garden@WESB.com. I'm Andy Paulson. Igor will be back next week, as will Bob.
Okay, thanks,
Andy. Thanks very much for listening to The Gardening Show.
We serve Bradford. B107.5. WESB. Bradford. This is WESB News.
Fugitive arrest, identity theft. Good morning, I'm Andy Paulson.